The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group. Welcome. This is Making Your Home Great. Mike Slaman with you, Dave Alexander, taking a well-earned vacation day with family from Syracuse. They're in town, so I had to put on the headphones. Jeff Hastings from Burt Brothers Hardware, you know him well. He and I will be sharing this hour together, and we'd love you to join us at 919-860-9783. The heat. The heat is killing all our plants. You have a background a lot of folks don't understand, that you would, you know, be owner of a hardware store, but you're also very familiar with botany and how to keep things green.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us. It's been a very, very warm, very, very odd summer. A lot of the fescues have suffered immensely.
Yeah,
a lot of the people with warm season grasses were a little concerned that their grass was dying as well. But the last week worth of rain has brought all that stuff green and back and growing. And now the problem is sometimes it grows a little bit too fast and a little bit too tall to mow. And you know,
I know it does. And you know, things like hostas, they took a real hit.
Yeah, a lot of the perennials took a hit, but I think most of them will be okay, because even though you had the heat for so long, the roots and the tubers and whatnot, for the most part, are going to make it through. It's just mm-hmm. going to be a tough summer for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we met earlier this week about things you can do right now, because August is almost here. Football season just around the corner and everything else, but time to think about aerating your lawn. But you told me, well, good luck with that, because it's so hard.
That's right. You know, up until a week ago, if you tried to aerate your yard, you'd just be bouncing all over your yard. But I think with the rain that we've had coming up in about another 2 to 3 weeks, it's fine to start aerating. It's a perfect time to have your soil tested. Mm. The state of North Carolina does it up on Reedy Creek Road. You can get a sample box from them, and the earlier you do it, the better, because in the middle of the planting season, it takes them about 5 to 6 weeks to get that report back to you.
Okay, so you get the kit. Where do you take the samples from?
It's
different places?
You take it from 2 or 3 places around your yard, and mm-hmm. on the box it'll tell you, it's odd enough, though, you don't want to use a metal scoop or a metal trowel to get it up.
Why is that?
Because the metal part of the trowel is going to leave some molecules in the soil,
and
it's going to contaminate the sample. So it's going to sometimes make it read a little more acidic than it should.
Interesting.
So if you've got a plastic shovel or scoop or whatnot, then that's the best way to get it. And it's about the size of an old checkbook register box.
Mm.
So.
Tomatoes starting to come up now, but you saw a lot of that rot going on, right?
Right, yeah. The lack of calcium in the soil around here is mm-hmm. prominent, and so you get what's called blossom end rot, and that's on the bottom of the tomato. When it starts to ripen up, turns black,
yeah.
and starts to spread throughout the tomato, and there's a blossom end rot spray, because it's too late to try to add lime to the soil, because mm-hmm. it's just not going to act that fast. Mm-hmm. But there's a blossom end rot spray that you can put on the tomatoes, and it'll help correct that deficiency.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I got fescue grass, and it looks pretty bad right now.
Well, it's never
anything I can
it's
do.
Never, well, it's never too late to go with the warm season grass. But that's, you know, that the fescue, I think probably 60 to 70% of the fescue yards are probably going to be okay. Because even though we went through such a heat, an established fescue lawn, the roots usually are deep enough that they're going to come back. It's going to need some help this fall. You're probably going to need to overseed a little bit more than you normally would, because the older fescue plants that are out there are going to suffer the most.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this is Making Your Home Great. If you're just joining us, Jeff Hastings here from Burke Brothers Hardware. And you can join us if you have any questions for Jeff at 919-860-9783. Some of the other things going on in preparing for fall. Should we start thinking about that?
Well, the air conditioners have certainly been working overtime, but now that they're starting to be able to slack off, it's time to start thinking about the fall and opening the windows and just making sure that your screens are in great shape. We either rescreen or make new screens, whichever customer needs. That's just open the window every now and then and see, or walk around the house and check the condition of your screens.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some things you don't want the screens, or the reason you want screens, because we see some hornets and we see a lot of flying things, but you have some things that can control them.
Yeah, we've got anything from like outdoor fly traps for the nuisance flies, and then we've got all kinds of sprays that you can put out and a majority of them nowadays are bee safe, honeybee safe, which is a good thing. But the important thing is a lot of people will come in and they'll get a can of wasp and hornet killer, and we try to catch them before they leave to make sure what they're trying to kill. Because if they've got yellow jackets in the yard, that's going to do an okay job, but there's a foaming wasp and hornet killer that you want to use on those, because that way it foams up like shaving cream does and fills up the exit, so that when they make the yellow jackets mad in the ground and they come out in a hurry, they hit that wall of foam and knocks them down.
Yeah. I have a harrowing story from my past. I think it was a Japanese hornet. I mean, it was big. And it looked like a B-52. And it's coming right toward me. And I've got this foam stuff. And I had to aim it. And finally, I got it. And the wings took all the foam in. And it just went to the ground. And
yeah, that was it. The agent that's in there is an oil that gets on their wings first.
Yeah.
And that's what creates the drop and makes them fall. And then the chemical starts to work.
We got a call from Linda from Johnston County. Linda, thank you for joining us here on Making Your Home Great. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I want to ask about Mondo grass.
Oh, Mondo grass. Okay.
A bit of it. And the tops of it are ugly and kind of like they're...
Doesn't look so good.
It doesn't look so good.
Okay.
Will they grow out of that?
They will grow out of it, most likely. I'd say late August, it's good to put blood meal and bone meal out, because the blood meal is good for the growth and the greenery that's up top. Bone meal is real good to get those roots even more established for next year. But, you also can go in and trim off some of the dead or the bad-looking part, and next year it should come out just fine.
Okay. Is there anything I can put in, or can you buy that in small stuff, the blood meal or the...
The bone meal? Yes, ma'am. Most stores, either ourselves or most garden centers, are going to have it in a small 4-pound bag. It's about the smallest you can get, but 4 pounds is, that's pretty manageable.
Okay, because I've just got a small place of it that I put, and I just wondered if it would grow out of that. And I did trim off a couple of them that looked real bad. And I didn't know if I'd ruined it or what.
Yeah, and you can also use the blood meal and the bone meal on any of the other perennials that you have out in the yard. It's not going to hurt anything to put that on.
Oh, okay. Does it help things flower or just grow?
Just grow, mainly, with those two.
Okay. How about a hydrangea? Will that change the color of the hydrangea?
No, ma'am, it will not.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, Linda.
I might need a bigger bag.
All right. Go over to, Burke Brothers. What's that?
I'd like to ask another question.
Well, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. I have some, I guess you'd call it spirea, that didn't get trimmed this spring. When would be the best time to trim it or cut it back or whatever?
I would say sometime in October or November would be the best time.
In October or November.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That sounds good. It'll be cooler, maybe.
That's right. You'll have, you know, it'll be a little bit cooler. The kids will be done with Halloween and won't be ready for Thanksgiving yet, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
That's it for today.
All right. All right. Thank you for joining us on Making Your Home Great. We're with Jeff Hastings from Burke Brothers Hardware, and it's right here on AM 680 WPTF and FM 98.5. More coming up. Welcome back. This is Making Home Great. I'm Mike, in with Jeff Hastings today, Burke Brothers Hardware, and we'd love you to join us. If you have a question like Linda did, she had a couple questions.
She did.
919-860-9783, the hydrangeas. Not a real good year for some hydrangeas, especially, you know, I mean, my backyard has a lot of exposure, and my next-door neighbor had hydrangeas, where they were kind of in the shade, and they seem to do a lot better over the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, they do. They will tolerate sun, but they do like to have a little bit of shade. And any of the plants that have such a large leaf surface, with the heat and the lack of rain that we had, is just going to take a battering unless you could be out there watering on a frequent basis.
Yeah. Do you ever cut those? Do you cut those back?
I do. I do. They bloom on second year wood, so you don't want to cut them too far back. But you can cut them back. You know, I've got one at my house that starts to get long and gangly after about 2 years, and I'll go in and cut it back pretty severely, knowing that I'm going to suffer some loss of blooms next year. But you know, you got to look towards the long term future versus the short term sometimes.
Yeah, my wife is the horticultural expert. I just listen to her and you. But she has been able to take like daylilies and cut those in half and propagate them and just expand them to like unbelievable. I mean,
right.
it's like multiplying it, and then they eventually, the first year they don't look so great, but the next year it looks like, boy, that's been there a while. When do you think about doing things like that?
You want to do it after they've finished growing for the year. Irises, for instance, you can do, they're pretty hardy. You can do those just about any time and split those up. But like daffodils, for instance, come midsummer, you dig them up and see if they have if the bulbs have put off any pups, and you can split them off at that time. Daylilies, it's best to do it in the wintertime once they've finished blooming and all the greenery. What you don't want to do is you don't want to try to be too severe with the plant while it's actively growing, because that's where it's taking nutrients and putting it back into the either the bulb or the corm or the tuber, whichever type of bulb of whichever type of it is. So you don't want to prematurely stunt their growth for the next year by you know, cutting it back.
Yeah, because you can do that with mondo grass too, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when would you suggest Linda to do that?
The best time is again late fall, early winter, and just about every perennial you can do that with. You know, most perennials that when they die back in the wintertime, they're multiplying and they're getting larger. And so it's just, you know, like yarrow, for instance, the yarrow plant, it drops its seeds. And a lot of times what I'll do is late in the fall when the blooms start to fade, I'll take the old seed heads and I'll just shake them somewhere else in the yard. And a couple of years later, I've got healthy yarrow plants growing there.
I got to tell you, I have some helpers or something very weird happening in my garden. I have a garden in the front, and it's mostly lettuce and Swiss chard and different things. And we looked and we saw what looked like a squash plant. had kind of like those big leaves, right? So we're watching this thing, and I went on my phone and took a picture of it and found out it's a melon. And it's growing. We didn't plant melons. Our next door neighbor doesn't have melons. Where do these melons come from? It's crazy.
Do you do any composting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been a byproduct of something that y'all put in the compost bin.
I mean, this is something that, yeah, you know, like you could buy in the grocery store. It's
right,
a
yeah,
huge
I mean,
melon.
That's one of the things about, you know, that people, when they compost, they'll take some of the fruits and vegetable left over and they'll put it in the compost bin.
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes they don't understand that those seeds are pretty viable, you know, even in a compost situation, they're pretty viable. So it might have been something that, you know, it might have been a seed from a hybridized melon, because the seeds off of a hybrid plant, if you grow those seeds, it's not going to be exactly like it's not going to produce a fruit exactly like the fruit that you ate.
Interesting. Because it's just as long as it's in the same family.
That's correct. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a bird.
Yeah, a lot
do
of
birds
you know,
do that.
It's doubtful on a melon because that's an awful big seed to go through their system. You know, if you look at like pokeweed, for instance, yeah, those are birds all day long. That's where that spreads a lot. But most of the vegetables, it's either you bought something you bought a tomato plant and accidentally when it was being seeded,
right.
Another seed from another crop accidentally got in there, or whatnot, or from the composting. Or it was a neighbor that really wanted to psych you out.
I don't know. I mean, it really could be. Really could be. It's happened about 2 years ago, too, but it didn't happen last year. Maybe it's about even before that. And we were wondering, can we eat this thing?
In all likelihood, you can. Take a picture and send it to me.
I will.
Because a lot of people sit there and they want to take like a Better Boy tomato, and they'll take the seed from the Better Boy tomato and they'll grow it the next year expecting for it to be a Better Boy tomato. And it's not
well, always
20% will, but the other 80% will not.
Interesting. When we're talking about our gardens, anything we should do to prepare for some fall veggies?
Well, the fall veggies, it's not too late. It's actually going to be a perfect time if you want to do a second round of squash. Squash
really?
Is about a 60 to 75 day crop, so you can come in for some late summer squash. Start to prune back. You know, if you're doing pumpkins, then certainly you want to make sure you put straw under them, and just start to delete the plants that have already done what they've come here to do. And time to start put some of that compost or some sort of amendment back in there if you want to do some of the cold crops. So start arriving about the last week of August.
Of course, you have things that can replace compost, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
In different products of that. But for the folks who want to do it homegrown, what are some of the rules to follow, things that you're not supposed to put in? I hear like anything live you're not supposed to put in there?
Right, and you're never supposed to put any meat products. Yeah, you don't want to put chicken, pork, meat.
Why is that?
Because it just doesn't break down. The microbes that are working on the plant material, they eventually could break it down, but it just doesn't operate. And it, you know, some of the grease and whatnot can end up contaminating some of the other compost, and it's harmful to the microbes.
Interesting. Any things that are really helpful for composting?
All the old plant material, you know, the fruits and vegetables that you don't eat or that you might be getting ready to throw away.
Okay. The great thing about Burke Brothers Hardware is you get this advice, right? You get this advice. You come in and you have a question, and you try to answer it the best you can.
That's right. And if I don't know, we'll look it up and get the correct answer. I certainly know a fair amount of folks over at NC State, so I can make some phone calls and find out just about anything.
Love having Jeff finally learn so much. Welcome to the second half hour here with Jeff Hastings with Burke Brothers Hardware on Making Your Home Great, and that's what we do. That's what we aim to do. You have a lot of things that make the home great. And the thing about it is you have picked some really, really premier brands. You got Milwaukee. You've got so many. Talk about the decisions that you have to make when you put something in. Like when Milwaukee came in, was there a lot of discussion about that?
When we make major changes like that, because we went from being a pretty healthy Makita dealer to Milwaukee.
Yeah, that was you told me that it was great because their batteries were great. And
that's right. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Milwaukee. We sort of kind of cheat, if you will, and I kind of look and see what is on the trucks of the construction workers. And you look on the home improvement shows that you watch on Saturday or Sunday mornings when you're, drinking coffee or whatnot. And you look at what are those people using. And so the combination of that and then, the lane construction, which is doing the belt line widening, they just kept asking for it. And so, and Milwaukee does a pretty healthy job of advertising that Makita doesn't necessarily do here in the United States. And so that's where we sort of look at if somebody's going to advertise for us and all we have to do is carry their product, the first thing was making sure that we're knowledgeable about that. So I had my son Tommy, who manages the store now, really go in depth to learn the product and know why we should and are going to carry it. And so, but then also I look at things that you don't necessarily want to buy. That we don't want to be a discount store. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the Kohl's birdseed. Kohl's birdseed is more expensive than some of the other birdseeds, but it doesn't have any filler in it. So a lot of people that, like myself growing up, your bird feeder always seemed to have this nice grass growing underneath it. And what that is if you look at a bag of birdseed, if it has little round red, what the birdseed company calls millet, that little red thing is not desirable by the birds. And so they'll kick that out. And maybe the squirrels will eat it or chipmunks, but that's what's growing underneath your bird feeder, and it's a Milo, and it's just not very desirable. So you take a product like Kohl's, which is, when you look at your bird feeder 3 or 4 months later underneath it, all you're going to see is maybe some spent sunflower shells. And outside of that, everything else is being eaten, and the birds absolutely love it. So it's a combination of things that we look at that we sort of say, what would I want to buy? And I talk to a lot of friends of mine who are in the building business, and what would they want to buy? And then we start to sort of navigate towards those products.
Yeah, and they have a good line of battery-operated type of equipment. Because I think most people, when they think of Milwaukee, think of the drills.
Right, exactly.
And the power tools and all that. But there's more than that.
Oh, there is. And I think there's, and don't anybody quote me on this, there's a little over 300 items that run off the same battery.
And 300.
300.
Wow.
And so it's anywhere from lawn and garden equipment, trimmers, blowers, chainsaws, to the construction equipment, to residential equipment. There's a battery-powered caulk gun. Who would think?
Wow.
But they make a battery-powered caulk gun that we carry. And so you're not having to squeeze the trigger 45,000 times a day.
Mm-hmm. And you don't lose much when it goes battery versus plug-ins. I have some horror stories. My dad, we had a hedge trimmer, and he says, Michael, just make sure you don't cut the cord. Just make sure you don't cut the cord.
That's right.
You don't tell a 12-year-old that.
Right. Oh, well, I was using a battery-powered hedge trimmer one time, and I not only cut the cord, but I cut my arm in the process.
Oh!
Because, you're sitting there using the equipment with one hand, and then you're holding the cord with the other hand so it doesn't get cut,
right?
And you gee when you should have hauled, but that's okay. It's just a about 4 or 5 stitches. So, but wow. that was a long time ago. But that's the nice thing about the battery power is the new battery powered equipment, especially like the 18-volt stuff that Milwaukee has with a 5-amp, you just get so much runtime off of it.
Hmm.
And it's not nearly as noisy, so you could do it. I don't have to worry because I live on a farm, but if you're in a neighborhood, nobody really wants to hear you crank up the weed trimmer at 7 o'clock in the morning. But if it's battery powered, then there's no noise that you have to worry about irritating the neighbors with.
Yeah, they are very noisy.
They are. I mean, a lot of the HOAs, especially if you get out towards California, there are a lot of HOAs and municipalities that don't allow equipment to be used prior to like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm. 919-860-9783 is our number here. At Making Your Home Great, we've got Jeff Hastings in for a few more minutes. So if you have a question, give us a call. The other thing that you do that maybe folks are surprised about is sharpening things. You can sharpen tools, and that makes a difference.
It does, absolutely. And we don't send things off to a third party to have them done.
Oh, you do it there.
Everything is done in-house. And so, most of the time, we will have the product back to you the next day. We'll stay late or come in early to get all that service work done so that we can devote our attention to making sure it's done right without the interruptions of phone calls and stuff like that.
Good time to do that, right?
Oh, it's a perfect time to do it. If it has an edge on it, we can sharpen it.
Yeah, lawnmower blades?
Lawnmower blades, trimmer blades, bush axes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just about anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before I crank up the lawnmower again, I mean, I'm doing it a little bit, but because of the drought, there's nothing to cut.
That's right, yeah.
as far as getting the lawnmower and other power equipment you have ready for a little more use, what should we do?
Well, the first thing you want to do is make sure you check the oil. Make sure the oil level is there. If it needs to be changed.
People forget about that.
They do, and we don't service equipment anymore, but a lot of the shops around do. But make sure that the oil level is there and make sure it's relatively fresh oil.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the season, make sure that when you're running the mower that you run it completely out of gas, because gas, unless you use some of the products like True Fuel, when you mix oil and gas, it starts to break down the carburetor, and mm-hmm. so you want to make sure you run it completely out at the end of the season.
Yeah, are you one that believes that the ethanol-free gas is better than
absolutely.
The regular?
Absolutely. The ethanol is just, it's going to break down the rubber parts in all the equipment, all the carburetors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we use, at the house, everything we use is ethanol free.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have any questions for Jeff, we are here. Another great brand you have is Benmore Paint. And I know that's something that you've been wanting to get in for years. You finally got it in. You got a really nice setup there inside Burke Brothers Hardware.
Yeah, and we're sort of fortunate. Being an independent, we're not tied to necessarily a national mm-hmm. co-op or whatnot. So we have our relationship is specifically with Benjamin Moore. So we literally can get the full line of Benjamin Moore. Some of the other retailers are kind of limited, but being an independent, we have the ability to do all of that stuff. And so we've got 3 different interior lines and 2 different exterior lines, depending on where your economy is and what you want to spend and how you want the finish to look. We can take care of anything with that.
Yeah, and in the long run, yeah, I mean, it's a premium paint, but in the long run, it can really save you money because you don't really need to put on a second coat, you said, in
some
cases.
Right, they've got a ColorFast that, 10 or 15 years down the road, the color is going to be the same that it is when you put it on the wall.
Wow.
And you're going to get, in most cases, unless you're going from like a red to a white or whatnot, you can do it with one coat, so you're not it costs a little bit more money on the front end, mm-hmm. but in the back end, you're not having to put multiple coats to get the color true and saving you time. And then, you know, 10 years down the road, if you scuff part of the wall and want to touch it up, you come in and get a quart of the same color, and it's going to match, and you're not going to see, you know, color fade mm-hmm. on the old wall. Mm-hmm. So it's going to match just as well as it did the day that you painted it the first time.
Wow. Yeah, I know you're impressed by the whole company. This is Making Your Home Great. We've got more coming up with Jeff Hastings, so make sure you give us a call, 919-860-9783. I'm in kind of a generous mood. So the next caller will win a 25 gift certificate, easy for me to say, from Hyde Park Bar and Grill. So give us a call, 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great on FM 98.5 and AM 680 WPTF. Back again for the last segment here this hour of Making Your Home Great. Next hour, we've got Rhonda Benvie Plummer from Help Me Rhonda Interiors, and of course, Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier. So we look forward to having them on next week. We're going to be right across from you.
You will.
The Pet Expo that we've been hearing about.
That's correct.
We will be broadcasting live there. Craig the Floor Guy will be one of our guests, along with Holly Bowers, who you know from Roofworks. So looking forward to seeing you. If Dave Alexander will be back, so if you want to meet him. Nobody wants to meet me, but I'll be out there as well. And look forward to seeing you at the Jim Graham Building coming up next weekend as we broadcast live. Just a few minutes remaining here. You talked to me about something that kind of interesting because every hardware store has a place where you make the keys, but you go a little further.
That's right. It's interesting with the turnover of the housing that goes in.
Yeah.
We get a lot of new homeowners, and they'll be in to make keys. And
right.
we talk to them, and it's like, okay, are you using the same locks that were on the door when you bought the house? And they're like, oh, well, yeah. And so we suggest to them that they may want to have their locks, the house locks, rekeyed. They don't have to buy new locks. They don't have to have locksmiths out to do stuff. If they're handy enough and they can just take the doorknob off and the deadbolt off, bring it in with a key that'll open it, we can rekey it to make a brand new key so that all your neighbors don't have access to your house like they might have had with the old owners.
Wow. That's scary.
It is. I mean, and people don't necessarily think about it that, you know, when somebody, you know, when you buy a house, the, you know, whoever you're buying it from may have had, you know, pet sitters or you know, home sitters or people to come by to water the plants inside. And all of a sudden, all those people still have keys to your house.
That's frightening. Yes.
So
yeah,
it's
absolutely
just
right.
It's just a relatively inexpensive insurance policy to be able to, you know, have the security of knowing that nobody else has access to your house.
Mm-mm-mm. I know one thing you're kind of looking forward to, another year of college football and a lot of folks do tailgating and things like that. What do you have for tailgaters?
Well, for tailgaters, largely it's in our grilling section. You know, a lot of people do stuff if they, if they go through fast food or whatnot, then there's not a whole lot, but, you know, we can, you know, a lot of people take their charcoal grill or their gas grill. We sell propane, so we refill propane bottles. We get mm-hmm. that a lot during home games over at Carter Finley. But then also a lot of the charcoal accessories that they might have forgotten about on the way over there. We've got all that for them as well.
Mm-hmm. I saw a mini Wilmington grill the other day.
Yeah, a little traveler.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah. It's a small. Tabletop grill that is great because it still carries all the great products at Wilmington and the great the respect that Wilmington has. And it's got a little bit different burner than the typical Wilmington grills do.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is you can go out, use it, and then you shut it off, and by the time you're ready to go into the game, it's cool enough to either put in the back of the truck or in the trunk of the car, and you don't have to worry about, you know, charcoal and having that cool-down period with charcoal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You go into Burke Brothers Hardware, you walk in, you can barely get beyond the cash register,
right?
Which is something you've trained people about.
Well, I inherited that. We were doing that, you know. That's why we've been around since 1936. Is we want to, you know, go back to like the Benmore paint. If you come in and buy paint from us, we're going to make sure that you've got the roller that you need, the brushes that you need. We're going to make sure that you've got a drop cloth if necessary. We're going to make sure that you've got, tape to put around the windows if necessary. So we're really not forcing people to buy all those things, but mm-hmm. we want to make sure that when you get home, whatever project you're doing, that when you get home, that you have everything you need rather than having to turn around and come right back to the store because you forgot. You know, we try to cover the bases for all the things that you may forget.
And it's good stuff, too, because you've got to answer. For instance, you have brushes that I didn't know about called Purdee.
Yeah, Purdee.
Apparently, those are like the top notch.
They are, and that's one of the things that we talk to people. There again, we want to make sure they have the right thing. But, you know, I'll talk to people and say, you know, do you keep your brushes afterwards? And if they throw them away, then no, we're not going to try and sell them, you know, a $25, $30 paintbrush.
Yeah.
But most people, if they're coming in to start painting, it's the beginning of the project rather than the end of the project. So they're going to be painting multiple rooms. They're just not painting one bedroom because they paint the bedroom and then all of a sudden the hallway looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you paint the bedroom and the hallway and then all of a sudden the bathroom doesn't look so good. So that's where you buy a high-quality brush that is relatively easy to rinse with soap and water. Old-school brushes that – or old-school paint that was all oil-based, used to wrap it in aluminum foil and put in the freezer. Those days are all but gone. And so now it's very easy to clean the brush, water, you know, soap and water, and you've got it taken care of for the next cycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagine you get a lot of folks coming in a panic because their toilets are not working and stuff like that. You guys have been trained to help homeowners with that.
That's right. The number one item in the house that you have to have in operating order is a toilet, for
please.
Sure. And we get people that come in because, you know, if it's clogged up, then there's two or three different either chemical or mechanical ways that we can help clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
Then if it's leaking or whatnot, we always ask people to take the back off of the, or take the top off the toilet and take a picture of the guts.
Ah.
Because you've got multiple different manufacturers. You've got American
Flapper
standards.
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
got, you know, you've got five or six major players out there in the toilet. And the only thing standard in plumbing is that nothing is standard. And so they're all kind of unique. And so, you know, if we send you home with a fill valve for an American standard and you get home and you've got a Mansfield toilet, then those two don't
going to work.
They don't work at all together. So, and we'll try to help out as much as we can. My business card has my cell phone number on it, and I tell people, look, here's my cell phone. Here's my card, my number. When you get home, text me what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Text me a picture of it, and I can either walk you through. I can tell you, you know, sometimes it's not even having to come back to the store. Sometimes it's just cleaning where the flapper goes.
Mm-hmm.
But we want your business 10 visits from now, necessarily, not necessarily today.
Yeah, and another thing you do within a certain service area from the store is you do deliver. So I'm thinking in the fall, boy, oh boy, did I buy enough mulch?
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many bags of mulch that I needed for my backyard, and it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. But you can help folks.
Oh,
with
yeah.
That.
Certainly within the zip code 27606, it's very easy to do. Outside of that, we just sort of want to know where you live. It's not easy for me to deliver a truckload of mulch to Clayton
mm-hmm.
from West Raleigh. But we make, you know, we make exceptions for, you know, inside the Beltline and up towards North Hills and going down towards Cary. Because, again, we just want to have your business at the end of the day. And we understand that, you know, a Wilmington girl doesn't easily fit necessarily in the back of a Tahoe or a Suburban.
They're pretty heavy.
They're pretty heavy, and they're large, and so we want the customer to be happy at the end of the day.
Anything that you have there that people would be surprised about? That you have at Burke Brothers Hardware that maybe it's something you have been thinking about a long time, and you said, well, I'm going to start carrying it. Anything like that?
Well, we did start a couple of years ago carrying this. It's a galvanized can that can be used either to compost or as a burn barrel, where it's legal to do that sort of stuff. It's already got the holes in the side for proper ventilation. And it's interesting. It's kind of a... people go by it and they'll ask me, what's that for? So it's sort of an oddity that we appreciate having. It's sort of a talking point.
It is a talking point. You're real proud of your staff. I mean, I think it's just an amazing record that you have, how long you've been able to keep those employees. And that's really the whole backbone of Burke Brothers Hardware, really.
Yeah, it is. Our manager, David Lindsay, retired June 30th was his last day. And he had not been there very long. He'd only been there 45 years. Started working in the hardware store when he was 20 and didn't leave until he was 65. So we don't want the employees to leave. We love to keep them.
Yeah. Got a quick question for Francis. Francis, are you there? This is Making Your Home Great.
I am here.
All right. What's your question?
My question is about Benjamin Moore paints, which I did use about 30 years ago on my interior walls.
Yeah.
How would I match that? It was a shade, but it was diluted, 50%.
Okay.
How would you go about matching a wall color?
Yeah. Well, if you know the name of the color, you can do that. You can bring that name in. The line of paint that you used was Regal. Or if you can bring in about a dime size sample off of a wall, like around a window or behind a door, we can color match it and get to the exact Benmore color that way as well.
Okay. All righty.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Making Your Home Great. Got another whole hour. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Oh, yes.
Visit them right across from the State Fairgrounds. This is WPTF.
For information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
And welcome for hour number two of Making Your Home Great. We got Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier in, along with Rhonda Benvey Plummer from Help Me Rhonda Interiors. And, it's hard coming up with your title, Rhonda, because you're not just an interior designer. I mean, you really are. How do you describe yourself?
Mostly interior designer, but then I do remodels as well.
All right.
I like to say that I'm one of those that knows a little bit about a lot. Right?
See that on a business card, right?
I know a little bit about a lot. Because it's just like over the years as an interior designer, when you work with a lot of builders and you work with the plumbers and the electricians and, all that, especially if you're inquisitive like I am and ask 10,000 questions, you learn a lot. You learn, on-the-job training, I call it, right? So, just over the years of doing this, I'm going to go on my 30th year next year.
Oh, my goodness.
You just learn a lot, So, mainly interior designer, that's my love, my passion, right? And so, when I do remodels, I get to do a little bit of both. I get to do the interior design part of it, plus, be able to help them where they, don't have to go to 10,000 different people to get something done. It's like a one-stop shop for rent.
Yeah, and I imagine you have different people that kind of plan for your arrival in the house in different ways. Some people with maybe videos or they've got pictures, and other people say, I have no idea what to do.
You get all kinds. You got the people, and that's the one thing that I think – some interior designers get a bad rap on because, you got different type of interior designers. You've got the kind that, their main vibe is to do the whole house. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do, and they stick to their guns. That's what they want to do. And then, you know, like myself, if you just want a paint color, I'm going to go give you a paint color. Why not? You know, if you want to my services for just an hour, then that's what I'll do. Most of the time, that'll grow into something else, and that's just kind of the way, you know, I look at it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, everybody's different. So you've got the client that, you know, likes to dabble in the interior design world, but they just don't know how to pull it all together. So they want to be a part of the process, which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
I let them be a part of the process. You know, I have some clients that's like, well, do you mind if, like, I like to shop for lighting, so do you mind if I shop for the lighting and then just run it by you? Sure, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But my rule is you run it by me, because I have, you know, a vision in mind, and we want to make sure that that lighting is the right size, it's the right colors, it's the right fit, it's all going to blend together. So I don't mind them doing that, and if they send me something that isn't quite right, I kind of explain it to them. So I had one client said, you're almost like a teacher,
yeah,
you know, when it comes to that type of thing. And then you've got the client that hates it, don't want to have any part of it. They're like, bring me a couple of options and I'm done. You know, so you've got complete, you know, and it's anywhere in between there, you know. So I work with them any way they like. They're the boss. They hired me.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you sketch things, or do you have digital things?
I have a design program that you would see like on HGTV, you know, something, you know, where I can draw things out, and then you can see it in, you know, blueprint form all the way up to a 3D form, you know, and you walk around it like you're in the space.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about this too, about the proper steps to take, and that kind of goes along with what you see where people are expecting one upgrade to improve something else. We've talked so much about that, Brock.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it is a lot. It sounds like it is a lot more difficult to describe how many options, okay, that Rhonda has when it comes to just minor details like flooring or drapes or colors, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have three different wall insulations. I've got five different plastics that I can lay down on the dirt in the crawl space. So it's pretty easy for me to go through and walk customers through the options. Rhonda having to say, look, going with this is going to change this, 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 and this.
It always is a domino effect.
Which is why I could never be the interior designer. I'm the guy that's going to build a square room on the back of the house. Everything's going to be insulated very well. The electrical will be done. The flooring will look great. It'll have no feng shui. Every wall will be identical. The windows will be in the wrong place. The outlets will be in the wrong place. So I always enjoy when Rhonda comes on the show, because it shines a little light. I see what goes into a space after we're done insulating it, getting it for finish out, putting in the drywall, putting in the flooring, doing the lighting, doing the trim, making sure the colors are done well and blending.
Yeah.
And it's artistic. It really is.
Yeah, and in your space, in the crawl space, are there a lot of folks who really truly don't understand why you would seal a crawl space?
Sometimes, I've over the years, I found it's just easier to educate folks instead of trying to sell them one thing or the other. It's trying to give them a better understanding of what is going on in the crawl space, what is causing the problem, and then give them three or four solutions to potentially fix the problem. That's really all it is. Most customers will start off with, why do I want to seal the crawl space? And I always tell people, look, if you have concerns in the crawl space, most of the time it's moisture related. High relative humidity is causing too much moisture in the air that's settling on the wood, and that can cause organic growth or mold over time. So most people's big concern is just making sure that it's fairly clean down there. Well, that's easy. You install a dehumidifier. Mm-hmm. As long as the dehumidifier is keeping the humidity in the 50s, there's not enough moisture to produce condensation. So there's no mold growth. There's no fungal bacterial growth. Everything stays nice and dry down there. So why would you seal a crawl space? Well, if we seal your vents and we install a dehumidifier, it's going to be running 5 to 8 hours a day. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Now, it's going to do its job. It's going to keep the humidity low. It's not going to cause any problems, but it is going to be running a lot. You put down a really good plastic, it's, you know, cuts down an hour or two run time a day. You encapsulate the crawl space, it's running 45 minutes a day now. So to answer most customers' questions, why do I want to encapsulate? I'll say, well, do you have a dehumidifier? Because what it really boils down to is, like, why do I want to insulate my house? Because your air conditioner is going to run 24 hours a day if you don't. So if you don't want that, you put in good insulation. It's the same with the dehu. Dehu is doing all the work. Everything else you do is to improve the runtime of the dehumidifier.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, you learned a lot here on the show. This is Making Your Home Great. If you have a question, we would love you to join the conversation, 919-860-9783. Mark Edmonds from Triangle Radiant Barrier and interior designer, expert extraordinaire, Rhonda Benvey Plummer from Help You Rent Interiors. We've got more coming up right here on FM 98.5 and AM 680 WPTF. Welcome back. This is Making Your Home Great on FM 98.5 and AM 680 WPTF. I'm Mike in for Dave, who's taking a well-earned time with family. He'll be back next week when we'll be at the Pet Expo.
That's right.
We'll be at the Pet Expo with Craig the Floor Guy and also Holly Bowers from Roofworks. And so drop on by, and you can actually see Brock in the flesh. He'll do autographs and anything else you need.
It's hard not to have a good time at the Pet Expo.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're here today talking about different things and learning different things. And, you know, the one thing that I think is so hard about you know, you say, here's a project. I'm going to do my house this year, and there's like thousands of things out there. I imagine one of the things that you get asked a lot about are countertops.
Yep, countertops. You know, the first thing I want to say about countertops is there is no perfect countertop, right? There just isn't. There's pros and cons to all countertops. And so, you know, I get asked that a lot, like, what countertop is, like, do I not have to have any maintenance? None of them. None. You got to have some kind of maintenance or precautions on all countertops. You know, I think when people are thinking about countertops, I think they need to be thinking more about a look than they do a durability, because there's pros and cons to all of them, but looks of all of them are totally different. You know, so if you are a person that, you know, likes movement, doesn't like cookie cutter, doesn't like anything to be like the other, you're going to be a stone person. You're going to like the quartzites, the marbles, the granites, right? Because there's no two alike, right? They are a natural substance. And they're like, oh, they're hard to take care of. Yeah, marble's hard to take care of. I wouldn't suggest it in a kitchen unless you're a cook. If you're a baker, you know, a pastry baker, you're going to love marble. Have it on your island and then talk to me about how to take care of it, you know? Because if you're that type of person, you're probably not going to care about a little stain or a little etching on a marble, right? Granites, just keep them sealed, you know? That's it. Quartzites are kind of in between, like a marble and a granite. The same thing, keep them sealed. It's a natural beauty to them. Nobody expects them to be perfect. If you're the type of person that you like everything very symmetrical, you like it to be not too much busyness, not too much movement going on, then you're going to like quartz. Quartz is a man-made product. Every slab of one type looks exactly the same. It looks exactly the same. It's printed, you know, like a poster, you know. But they have some that look really, really pretty. I'm not going to lie. They look gorgeous. The pros of that is that it is very clean looking. It's very stain resistant because it's not porous like a natural stone. If the con of a quartz is hot, you know, hotness, you know, because you got to think it's like crushed up granite with epoxy. Epoxy is a glue. A glue will melt, right?
So if you put a hot pot on there.
It could definitely melt it if you did not get it off.
See, another...
Melt it?
Oh, yeah. This is why you bring in someone with this kind of experience, because you're, I mean, when you're building a house, you're shooting from the hip. The builder comes in and says, hey, we're going to do these kind of countertops, and you don't think it through. Great, you know what you're doing, right? Wrong.
Stone is stone. You're not going to melt stone.
Yeah.
Right? You might melt off the sealant on it, mm-hmm. right? Then you just get them back out there, trim it down, put more sealant on it, right? But you're not going to melt a rock, right? So, you know, if you're a clumsy cook, you know, or you're, you know, if you're someone that just sets a pan down and don't think anything about it, mm-hmm. right? Then you might want to rethink quartz, right? It's not going to hurt it for a split second. If you're burning yourself and you have to throw it down for a second, you're going to be fine. But, I mean, if you kept it on there, it's not going to be good. So if you got kids that, you know, just learned to cook and they set hot stuff down, you know, whatever, you might want to rethink that. Formica is just not done a lot anymore.
Old school.
Know? I don't even do it. If you want formica, I'm probably not going to be your girl.
Yeah.
You know, commercial.
Right.
That's about where formica is done.
Yeah, well, you'll get a lot of builder grade type of homes that had that, and then you kind of suggest things. What do you do? Do you have like a book that explains all this?
I don't. Just talking to me.
You just talk to
and
you.
Asking the questions.
What do you
it's
want?
Funny. Like I do home show speaking, you know, with the local home shows a lot, and I probably get asked about countertops more than I do anything.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I mean, everybody is wondering about the countertops. You know, so, you know, that Formica used to be popular in the homes because it was a cheaper price point.
Mm-hmm.
But quite honestly, there's not a lot of difference in price between Formica and the lowest grade granites at this point. So, you know, like builder people lower end, like, you know, properties are just putting like, you know, a level one granite in because it, I mean, literally, it might be $100 difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's why we talked on the show all the time that the ones that are really good at what they do are not salesmen or educators.
They're educators.
See,
yes.
What she's been doing for the last half hour is I didn't know that a pot could cause that kind of damage, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I just needed somebody that knew about it to tell me that. So when you're doing this kind of stuff, it's about reaching out and finding somebody that has the experience that's going to shoot you straight and teach you. Once you have all the variables, you know all the facts, you can make a good, educated choice in how you want to move forward.
Right. Yeah, and you got to set expectations, too, because some of these countertops, they come from South America and the stones and things like that,
it takes time for delivery.
All over,
you know, so we got... Right, we got a lot of warehouses around here. I mean, like, gosh, probably like 9 or so. Hmm. So chances are you're going to find something here that you're not going to have to wait on. It's, I mean, it's a lot. I don't know if you've ever been to one of the big warehouses and seen the big slabs, but it's a lot, you know, of them. And they're really cool to look at. I always tell people, if you hadn't ever done that before, go do it. Go and look, even if you're not looking at countertops, because it's like art, you know, looking at those big old slabs sometimes. But... it's plenty around here where you're not having to wait for any. I mean, if you can't find something that you love, then there's a problem probably because it's just so many.
Do you take customers with you in some of these jaunts?
Yes. So sometimes a customer, you know, might go and kind of pre-look and then have me to go with them when they've narrowed it down, you know, or some of them just kind of start with me because they don't have a clue what they're doing at all.
And what you know, do you have in your home? What countertops did you choose for yourself?
My kitchen is really a marble, but it's a very hard marble. It's just about quartzite.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So talking about doing your own house like as a designer, it's really hard. It's almost like I need to hire a designer to help me because you got to think about all the stuff that I see. Like, I like so much stuff. It's really hard for me to pick for my own house. I think it took me 5 months to pick the tile for my kitchen. Seriously. It just took me forever. So I picked the one I had because we loved it. And I only picked it because it was a very hard marble. They said it really should be a quartzite. So I'm just careful. I maintain it. I only use, there's one product that I use that is like a cleaner and sealer all in one. That's the only thing that ever touches my countertops other than water.
Okay.
You know, and I have a lot of cutting boards. Better not cut a lemon on my countertops and not clean it up. Not going to be a good thing because, you know, it'll etch marble. So everybody, my husband, my children, everybody knows you get the cutting boards out because I have like 10, right?
Get the cutting board or mom is getting the taser. Yeah.
You know, so if you take care of it, you're not going to have any problem. Even with marble, you're really not going to have any problems. But you can't help certain things. Let's just say, you know, like with a marble, and if you haven't sealed it correctly and you haven't taken care of it, if you spill spaghetti sauce and you let it sit there, it is going to stain it. There is no doubt that tomato base is going to stain it. You know, so you just got to, you know, make sure, oh, I spilt that. I better get it up. If you get it up right away, you're not going to have a problem. You know, so look, I always say go by look. And your budget, of course. Yeah,
the budget, I mean, that comes into your area because you can do one thing. For instance, crawl spaces.
Right.
You have different kind of crawl spaces.
Oh, yeah.
But just set the expectation for this or something a little less and what that's going to produce.
Yeah, you know, when we built our company, it was around options. We don't know what somebody's budget is, so we try to have something that is going to be better than what they have currently for each category of person. Mm-hmm. So if you know, they have a very limited budget, then we can come in and do minor items like 6 mil and replace parts of the insulation. If they want to go above and beyond, we can, you know, obviously upgrade those products to 10 mil reinforced, 16 mil reinforced, or full encapsulation. Again, my job is just to kind of walk the homeowner through all of their options. Once somebody looks at a piece of paper, they look at all their options in front of them, they understand all of the options. I step back and answer questions from there. That's it. There's no pressure. This is just making sure you know what is available to you.
Because I know when you do the crawl spaces, the big benefit, if I'm not wrong about this, is it improves air quality.
Yeah, about half the air you breathe originates in the crawl space. So the cleaner the environment under the home. I've got hundreds and hundreds of customers that have reached out to us over the years and said, after we had you guys seal our crawl space, my wife's, a lot of her health issues have cleared up. She's able to breathe in the home again. She's not sneezing.
That's nice.
My husband is not snoring as bad as he used to. You know, we're getting much better air quality in the house. So people rave about the impact it makes on the inside of the home. We're just happy we were there to help.
Can you register that at all, or is it just something you feel?
No, there's actually sensors. One of the whole house air things kit sensors that we install in customers' homes, those test for indoor air quality. So it's very easy to see the air quality just shoot up like a rocket after the encapsulation has been done. It's measurable, absolutely.
Interesting. All right. Well, we've got another half hour here of Making Your Home Great. We'd love to have you join the conversation, 919-860-9783. Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier and interior designer Rhonda Benvey Plumber from Help Me Rhonda Interiors. This is Making Your Home Great on FM 98.5 and AM 680 WPTF. Welcome back. This is Making Your Home Great. I'm Mike, and we've got Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier, Rhonda Benvey Plumber from Help Me Rhonda Interiors. Next caller wins a gift certificate, a $25 gift certificate for a really good question at 919-860-9783. I wonder, one of the things you kind of struggle with, Rhonda, is, you know, people, they're really trying to help you, but in the end, it really kind of hurts the process, and that's putting things in not the right order, right?
Right.
That's a big thing, isn't it?
I have a great example of not putting things in the right order. So I had an appointment, and it was a young couple. They had just bought the guy's grandfather's house, sitting on a gold mine, not kidding, in Cary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're going to have to remodel this house, you know, a little at the time. And so she wanted, I had done her mother-in-law, the guy's parents' house. And so that's how they got my name. And so she was saying, I want to do, you know, this. And I'm like, well, are you this bathroom? And I'm like, okay, so you got a lot of work that needs to be done in this bathroom. Are you going to be replacing the windows? Because the window was broke, and they're like, you know, since the 60s. So I knew they're probably going to replace the windows. And I'm like, she's like, well, yeah, but we're probably going to do that later. And I'm like, you probably need, I know this is not what you're going to want to hear, but you probably need to do your windows first. Because you're going to come in here and you're going to do this bathroom. You got a lot of wall work that has to be done. You got to paint. You got to paint your trim. You got to do all of this. We're going to pick. And then you're going to go, okay, we're going to get the windows done. Well, these windows are old, coming off of brick.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are there's going to be a little crack in your drywall when something comes out. You just don't ever know. You're going to have to do your trim over again. You're going to have to paint again. You're going to have to fix that drywall crack. You're going to have to. It's like you're doing things double. And so she's just looking at me going, gosh, I never really think about that. I didn't think about that. You know, so just having somebody to come in, even if you are a do-it-yourself and you've got and you're handy and you can do things, having somebody to come in and just telling you the right order of things, you know, is very beneficial to you. Because it helps you to not pay for something twice.
Yep.
Okay. You know, so she was talking about, well, we got hardwoods under these floors. And so we're thinking about just going ahead and getting the hardwoods done. But they were also thinking about taking the wall out between the kitchen, taking these little knee walls off between the kitchen and the living room. And I'm like, okay. So when you do that, chances are there's probably not hardwoods under there. So guess what? They're going to have to rip up some of the hardwares, you know, tooth the hardwoods in. Then they're going to have to refinish everything that you just did. So you're going to be doing it twice.
Yep.
No. There's a certain order to do things. And unfortunately, those things are some of the things that are not the pretty stuff to look at.
Yeah.
It's the backbone stuff, the electrical, the plumbing, the windows, stuff that is just like, meh, I've spent a lot of money and I don't see any improvement because it's not the pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even though windows, I'm not going to lie, changing windows out in an old house just changes the whole look of the house. It really does look good.
I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we had a homeowner that we were doing a joint install. They needed their HVAC system replaced, the ductwork, the air handling unit, which was located in the crawl space. The crawl space was not tight, but it wasn't, you know, one that was really easy to move around in. And the homeowner said, look, we're going to have this done. You know, in what order do you think I should have this done? And I told him the truth. I said, have the air conditioning system removed and replaced. When the HVAC guys are finished, our guys will come in and seal the crawl space. They said, well, my concern is damage, you know, you guys damaging our new ducts. And I said, there's ducts in every crawl space we do. My guys are very talented at maneuvering around the crawl space without causing any damage. But that would be my recommendation. And he said, why? I said, well, when we're done, the crawl space is going to look like a work of art. It's going to be spotless. Everything's going to be clean and perfect. Now, they did not heed my advice. They decided they wanted us to come in first and seal the crawl space, so the HVAC guys had a very nice environment to go down there and do their job. Well, they also didn't clean their boots, and they were tracking mud in and out of the crawl space and leaving dirt. I mean, it was bright white and sterile in there when my guys got out of there.
Right.
So he called a few days later and said, hey, it looks like a mud storm went up in my crawl space. You know, can you guys come back out and clean it?
No.
I said, yeah, of course. It'll take two guys an entire day so it's going to end up costing you this amount of money. Yeah. And he was floored over it. And I said, man, I tried to walk you through it. That's why it's imperative to talk with people. They are that A, are going to be honest with you, and B, are actually trying to save you time and money.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing, is if you don't know this, I mean, there's a reason why a nurse is a nurse and a contractor is a contractor.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and we're not telling you things to bum you out. You know, we're telling you these things to help you to make the process smoother and to save you money, quite honestly, because, you know, I mean, a remodel is a big thing. And, you know, this was a young couple. They don't have a clue, right? Mm-hmm. That's why they called me. But I think the reason she called me and when I ended up there were two totally different things. But, you know, she ended up calling me going, we're going to go ahead and do the windows. I just want you to just do the bathroom. You know, just get me a quote on you doing it. I'm just not going to do it. I think I'll mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, I gained trust with her because probably she checked behind me and figured out what I had told her, you know, was correct. And, you know, so now they're going to, you know, save the money and not have to worry about it. Plus, I always give options, you know, as well. I'm like, I know you want this to look better and, you know, because you're living here or whatever, you know, so maybe instead of you redoing your hardwoods, because the carpet in there, y'all probably had been in there since the 60s, 70s, right? So she was ready to get that up. But I understood that. So I'm like, well, maybe instead of redoing the hardwoods, then you put LVP down. Just put float the LVP, you know, over the hardwoods. They're still going to be there. And you got some pretty floors until you're ready to do things. Buy extra LVP.
Right.
Right. And then when you knock that wall down and you knock those knee walls down, we've got LVP to fill in and you're good to go. Right. And you've not hurt the sale of your house. Your hardwoods are still there. You've not hurt anything. You know, so that gives you that immediate need for cleanliness and getting that carpet out, I get. But you're not wasting any money either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's an option. So I try to give the options.
Yeah, I mean, money's a big thing, particularly when you're talking about a kitchen remodel, right? Because you could replace all the cabinets, or you could resurface them. I mean, what do you tell people about that? About cabinets in particular?
So, most of the time with cabinets, I think it depends on the type of cabinets that you have. Let's just say, you know, I go to a client's house and it's been 15, 20 years, right? And it's time for them to redo their kitchen, okay? You know, some of those kitchens are going to have, you know, semi-custom cabinets that, you know, probably not that great, right? And then some of those are going to have solid wood custom cabinets. They just don't like the stain color on them any longer.
Right.
Right. So those are two determinant factors on kind of what I tell them. If you had that, you know, the cheaper type of cabinet that just really wasn't that great of a cabinet to begin with, I'm going to say you're probably better off getting new cabinets versus spending the money to get these painted correctly. Because there is a good way and a bad way to paint cabinets. If they have like really nice wood cabinets, they don't want to change the footprint, everything's really good about it, then sometimes I might say, well, let's just get new doors, new drawer fronts, update the look, and we can paint them, right? And so that would save you some money as long as you're not changing your footprint. Painting cabinets is not just, you know, the guys that paint your walls, right? Painting cabinets are done a completely different way. You want to make sure they're using lacquer paint and it's sprayed. If somebody comes in there and says, oh, we can do this, you know, whole kitchen for $2,000, and they come in there with regular paint and a paintbrush, you need to tell them to leave because it's not going to last. You paint cabinets with lacquer and that has to be sprayed and it's a mess.
Yes, it is, which is why normally it's in the yard. You see most people take all the doors off and everything. They go put it on a tarp in the yard to do it correctly.
Right. So like my guys, they would take down all the doors, all the drawer fronts, take it back to their spray booth.
Right.
Right, and paint them and then come in. And when they paint the boxes, they have to encapsulate your house and have venting out a door or window or something. I mean, it's intense. But it's like a factory set finish.
It looks good.
And it looks really good. And that's what you want. That's what you're paying for, right? And so otherwise, if you got them painted not correctly in about, I don't know, 2 weeks, right? They're going to start, you're going to start seeing the nicks and the peeling and all that.
All right. What's your question for Rhonda today here at Making Your Home Great or Brock Emmons? We're here to help you. That's why it's called Making Your Home Great, right? So give us a call, 919-860-9783. More coming up right here on WPTF.
$42, please.
We're back here. Last segment of Making Your Home Great, trying to keep things together here. You know, we're really proud of this really tight-knit co-op of businesses that we have put together here, Brock. And, you know, you and I, we had this kind of vision what this show would be about, but it ended up that you're all working together.
Yeah.
We have.
I mean,
I call Brock when I need insulation.
So that's something that comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, he just did a job for me. It was a full attic, you know, that we redid, right? I mean, if I'm doing something, you know, where it's like a space that hadn't been finished and we're finishing off and it needs insulation, I call Brock.
Yeah. I only know one interior design person. So when someone says, who do you know? The answer is Rhonda. You need to reach out to Rhonda. But I think originally when you and I kind of came up with the idea for the show, it was let's bring in people from different fields. We got to do background checks on them, make sure the company is in good standing and is heavily reviewed online, which you did all the heavy legwork there, Mike. I didn't have much of a say-so in that at all. You did a great job. But Mike brought in great people, you know, even from people that aren't on the show anymore, but they were with us in the beginning.
Still working with.
That I still work with, so it's, I'm very excited with the caliber of people that we've brought onto the show. And I've yet to send one of my customers to anybody on this show that I have regretted. They've all been very happy with all the service they've gotten from everyone, from Craig to Holly to Rhonda. I mean, we try to be there for each other.
I think we all had the same ethics about our business.
Right.
I think we're very the same on how we run our businesses, which is kind of cool. Because I know when I talk to like Holly or I talk, you know, to Brock or whatever, we have that same mentality about our business.
Right. Do it right.
Yep.
Don't take advantage of people and you're going to be pretty successful, believe it or not.
Do it right.
Honesty and a good job and you're going to do just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Rhonda brought up insulation. And when somebody has an attic, there's a couple ways you can go.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely. Anytime somebody calls us out, we always start the same way. What kind of issues are you having? What kind of problems are we hoping to get corrected here? So, based on the homeowner's answers, we can direct them on which types of insulations we feel are going to be better suited to correct their issue. So, if we're going off of examples, most customers have an issue in the summer more than the winter. We get phone calls throughout the winter here and there. Oh, it's cold in the house. We need to beef up the insulation up there. But the majority of the calls you get as an insulation company are in the spring and in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So people are most of the time having issues with heat. So if they come back and they say, it's too hot on the top floor. Okay. Is your air handling unit and your equipment in the attic or is that in the crawl space?
Mm.
Oh, it's in the crawl space. Okay. Oh, it's in the attic. Okay. These are all different answers that will tell me which type of insulation is going to be better suited. So again, it's educational. The homeowner's kind of learning it with me as I'm asking these questions and trying to get more information about what the core issue is. But we have a customer currently, and I won't go off on a tangent here, but this is a homeowner that we have already insulated their attic, still having a major issue with temperature and relative humidity in an upstairs bathroom. We found a skylight. I talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago when Holly was here.
Mm-hmm.
The skylight was not tinted properly. Now, that customer has subsequently removed that skylight, and the temperature in that bathroom went down 5 degrees. Now, in a living space, that's huge. It's 75 to 70 or 80 to 75.
Mm-hmm.
Still really high humidity. Puzzling, especially being on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like this stuff. This is the stuff that makes me better at my job. So we went out there.
Investigation.
Yeah, the curveballs. So we went out there and hooked up sensors in the crawl space, in the attic space, in the bedroom. We're going to find out what is causing this problem. That's what it is. It's just do it right. Do it correctly. Give the homeowner the options and you know, try to get to the core of the problem and address it that way.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll talk about radiant barrier, right? And when you first started out,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of like radiant barrier. Well, you know, what is that?
Yeah.
Are you finding it's people are getting more educated about that?
Yeah, when we first got here to the triangle, it was a learning curve for most of our homeowners. No, just about nobody knew about radiant barrier. They knew the silver stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the silver stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of education involved in that, much less so, actually. Surprisingly, a great deal of our homeowners are reaching out to us specifically for radiant barrier. They heard it on the radio and they looked mm-hmm. it up, or a friend, they, you know, saw us online. They did a lot more research and realized this stuff's been around for 60 years. It's not like it's something mm-hmm. new.
Space since, you know, the space age, right?
Yeah, that's literally how we got to the moon first. You couldn't insulate the space shuttle with R19 fiberglass. Spray foam is flammable. They don't like that in space. NASA does not like fire. So they came out with reflective grades. That's how, you know, all the gold and the silver stuff you see on the Hubble is reflective grade insulation. That's it. It's just been education. And luckily, yeah, a lot of homeowners in the area now are picking up on it, reaching out to us, and getting their homes insulated with it. And they're all happy. They're happy every time.
What I'm finding now is the big education thing is mini split systems.
I'm glad that everyone's catching on to the mini splits.
Mini splits are going to become popular, I think. My husband and I are going to be building a beach at the house, hopefully soon. And we're thinking about doing the mini splits for several reasons. The more that we research it, the more that we like it. It's supposed to be better for humidity.
Half the cost in most cases.
Half the initial cost. You're not heating and airing rooms to a temperature that, you know, if you're not in them, that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to keep humidity down, so it's good for our high humidity areas. If you have allergies, it's supposed to be really good because there's no ducting. No trash and yucky stuff is going down into those registers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to become a thing here before too long. In a lot of new construction.
I don't disagree with her. Mm-hmm. And I think mainly it's going to boil down to cost,
yeah.
Right? If it's half the cost of a large, full, and I'm not going to Coleman, Train, okay, American right. Standard, we can talk about these big name companies, you're out $12,000 to $15,000 if they have to come in and replace your air conditioner, because mm-hmm. they also have to replace the mate air handling unit mm-hmm. and all the ductwork that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I got guys that'll come in and put in mini splits for $4,000 to $5,000. Mitsubishi, excellent mm-hmm. warranties, and that's just one of many brands. There's right. lots of different brands out there that mm-hmm. do mini splits. But I have customers that have them in their 4-car garages, and it keeps the entire garage warm or cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's about half the size of a house right there.
Mm.
So they are very effective and efficient.
Very effective. And so it's kind of interesting. My HVAC guy that I use, you know, on my jobs, I mean, he's all for them. He loves them. And they're coming up with different types because a lot of people don't like the aesthetic look of it.
Yeah.
They got kinds now that go in the ceiling.
Right.
Right, that you really can't see.
Hmm.
They also have some that if you can cut it in a cubby in the wall and put it in the wall so it's not sticking out. You know,
is that right?
In the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are a lot of different kinds now other than the ones that you just see, but pretty interesting.
I think they're evolving.
Yeah, I think so too.
See what we get a few years from now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that might be a turn in the industry at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
One thing we haven't brought up is the fact that when you call Rhonda and there isn't a solution, you have a whole construction team.
I do.
That can.
If I don't know the answer, I've got somebody I can call to get an answer. Like, just, you know, even right now, Brock is doing a quote now for a client, and I've probably texted him 3 or 4 times with all their questions. Right?
Oh, so, that's right. Yeah,
so he would answer me so that I could, you know, give them the right answer. You know, so I could do that with any of my subs.
So, I mean, this could be like somebody wanted a desk in a kitchen or something like that. That's mm-hmm. something that you could do. You can do certain things in homes, very customized.
Yes, you can do kitchen sure. desks, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Most people are taking kitchen desk out.
Are they?
That's kind of not,
say,
it's kind of
look,
not
that was,
in
that was
right
like
now.
A 1980s, 1990s thing. Yeah.
Now everybody sits on their couches with their laptops.
Right.
That's
exactly yeah. right. Or their cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the kitchen desk thing is kind of out.
That's out.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But yes.
It's like popcorn ceiling or,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just that we're showing our age here a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Any trends right now with living rooms, for instance? Are people doing different things in living rooms, different types of couches and different setups?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to furniture in a living room, it definitely depends on the floor plan of the living room. I would say if you're designing the living room, the things that are becoming more popular are simplified fireplaces.
Yep.
Right? People are not doing, you know, the mantle, big mantle, you know, with all the trim, you know, and all that. They're trying to keep it a little bit more simplified and more streamlined. The electric fireplaces are kind of coming in, too.
Really?
Because, you know, a lot of places don't have gas, or, you know, people don't want to deal with the gas because it's so expensive. They've really come out with some nice electric fireplaces that still can put out a pretty good heat. So I would say streamline more, less is more, mm-hmm. is definitely the trend right now.
Give out your contact info, if you will.
Yep. You can call us at 919-263-9054 or look us up at www.helpmerondainteriors.com.
And Brock Edmonds?
You can reach us at triangleradiantbarrier.com or 919-986-8808.
This has been Making Your Home Great on WPTF.